Al Jazeera Podcasts.
A political standoff in Georgia. The government says a bill it's trying to pass for a second time would regulate foreign influence and protect the country's sovereignty. But critics are protesting it would crush freedoms. European leaders have criticised the bill. Can the crisis undermine Georgia's ambition to join the European Union? I'm Laura Kyle, and you're listening to the Inside Story podcast, where we dissect, analyse and help define major global stories. Well, let's bring in our guests now. And from Tbilisi, we're joined by Mariam Lashki, who's a member of the Georgian Parliament promoting the bill. From Brussels, Tornike Gordadze, fellow at Jacques Delors Institute and former Minister of European Integration of Georgia. And also from Tbilisi, we're joined by Member of Parliament Katia Dekanoidze, who is opposing the approval of this bill. Great to have you all with us. Mariam, let's start with you. Perhaps you can tell us why the government is so keen to pass this bill when there's so much opposition to it.
Thank you very much, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience. First, I'll start with the law itself and the stigmatization, which has been last day's discussed. The word agent, first of all, is not existing in the law. And the only thing is this law requires is transparency, requires the organizations and only nonprofit organizations, not citizens, to declare their foreign income if it's more than 20%. This is much lighter version of American FIRE law and based on EU directive. By the way, European Parliament is in the process of acquiring this transparency law as we speak. France already has it in force, and more than 15 countries worldwide, including Australia, Canada, etc., are discussing this law. We're located in an extremely politically fragile location, and I have to also say that we are at a gunpoint, not only by the Russians, but also the fragile geopolitical situation which we're located, and the occupation which is by Russia. There are forces in our countries that want to drive this country into destabilization in order to gain back the power. Therefore, laws such as which is this way is extremely important for our country, and this is also very timely initiated with the sake of the people's safety.
Okay, Mariam, you've laid out the reasons for. Thank you very much, Katia. I can already see you shaking your head there. Can you lay out the reasons for your opposition to this law?
Oh, thank you very much. Actually, I'm sitting in the parliamentary session room where the very hot debate about the Russian law, because the Georgian citizens, I mean, they don't call it law about the bill about the transparency. They call it Russian call. It's not about the transparency. I mean, let me explain why. It's about pro-Russian billionaire oligarch Bidzina Ivanishvili. He used to be the former prime minister of Georgia, and he earned a lot of money in early 19th in Russia. And yesterday, when he had a big gathering in front of the Georgian parliament for governmental gathering, he made it very clear that for him, number one enemy is the West, a so-called war party, I mean, global war party. Everybody who criticizes him and who want Georgia to be integrated into the European Union. I mean, he called them like, you know, they want to drag Georgia into the war. So it's about Bidzina Ivanishvili, who made the geopolitical choice. And actually, I called this bill Russian bill too, because I mean, it's about the geopolitical choice. I mean, it's not about the transparency. Because let me explain. So here I'm in the session room. Sorry, just it's very noisy. So here is a note of legislative initiatives on the transparency and regulation of associations. I mean, this is a final, you know, just a draft report. No, it's report by OSCE ODIHR. And it said, and it's about like 50 pages, and it says very well and very clearly that this law is against the fundamental principles of European Union and the freedom of association. And actually, just today, the minister, Dacianashvili, who is a foreign minister of Georgia, foreign Affairs Minister of Georgia. He's in Brussels, and actually our international partners in Brussels, they told him very clearly that this law about transparency, which is not about transparency, but transparency, because Georgian legislation regulates a lot. We have a lot of bills regulating the Georgian the income for NGOs and civil society. I mean, in the tax code and some other, okay, you know, the transparency regulations. So actually, I mean, the European Union made it very clear. If Georgia Parliament would pass this law, there will be no choice for European integration for Georgia. And you know that,
okay,
we're
sure.
waiting
well, let's
for
just,
the
let's just throw that back to Mariam. Before I bring in
Tornike,
I just want Mariam to respond to that. Does this law, if it's passed, will it scupper Georgia's membership to the European Union?
First of all, I am used to hear the lies from my colleague or from opposition, because first of all, she's already branded as a liar, because one, she was kind of saying that Georgians are circumventing sanctions, and that through Georgia, Russia is buying bombs to bomb the kids of Ukraine.
Okay, if we could just focus on the question, Mariam. Is there a concern that this bill will scupper European membership?
The sanctions, yes, sure. The evidence was that the specialists, three higher envoys, said that there is not any evidence of it. So that's one thing. And another one, the opposition representative who have transformed all the strategic locations, the lanes, signed the resolutions for the sake of Russian interests, cannot,
okay, Mariam,
not have the...
I'm going to have to go to Tornike now, just to get an idea, just to bring in Mariam, if you don't mind, because we need to keep on track with this particular discussion. We don't have very long to get to the heart of it. Let me bring in Tornike at this stage. You're there in Brussels. What is the bloc saying about this bill?
There is a unanimous condemnation of this law, and a caution that was issued telling Georgia that if this law is adopted, it will jeopardize, it will destroy the chance of Georgia to become member, even to start negotiations about the membership in the European Union. So the person who spoke from the majority party, she should be updated on her on talking points when she's comparing the law to the existing laws in the Western, different Western democracies. The leader of Georgian Dream yesterday said that the target was explicitly the West. So it is impossible to understand. This is extremely ambiguous, and this is kind of, totally contradictory to say that Georgia is adopting European laws against Europeans. The attitude of the Georgian Dream is now to qualify all the opposition as the foreign agents, as preparing coup d'etat in Georgia. This is a very clear Putinistic language that was that is used also in Belarus, in these kind of countries. So each reaction coming from Brussels, from capitals, Berlin, Paris, also from Washington, was no, this war is not something that we have in our legislation. This is something that is copy-paste of the Russian law. And no, there is no secret that never Georgia, since 2012, has found any Russian spy or any Russian agent in 12 years, where in everywhere in the world, in all democracies, there are lots of findings of Russian spies or Russian influence networks. Never Georgia has ever mentioned Russia as a threat to Georgia's democracy, and only the West is now considered as the threat to Georgia's democracy, which is a total nonsense. Sorry.
Okay, Mariam, I want to now address that same question to you again. When you hear directly from Brussels that the EU is saying this bill is likely to destroy negotiations for Georgia's accession to EU membership, is that something that concerns the Georgian Dream Party?
First of all, Georgian Dream Party is the only power who has in the track record association all the key milestones which are towards European integration, starting from association agreement, the CFTA, visa liberalization, as well as the status. We remember also last year when those who were linked to previous government, those members of the parliament, were telling that if we do not release former president from prison, and by the way, he's not in prison but in clinic, we will not get the candidate status. But the fact was different, right? So we see that sometimes it's not only about the few members of the parliament who are talking about and initiating the resolution, but it's all about the principles and key values which we are striving for towards the European Union. We know that by evidence, and we, definitely this is the era of perceptions, and anyone can create this. The perception towards the word Russian itself it's kind of damaging, because Georgian Dream was the party who has raised these emotions and who also raised the society by which we have around 90% support to European Union and the NATO membership. And these are majority of our electorate. And we have to look at the evidences.
Okay, well, let's just bring in Katia now. Let's just bring in Katia to put that to her. We have Mariam saying there that the Georgian Dream Party is still staunchly pro-Europe. It brought Georgia to the candidate status at the end of last year, and it remains so. What do you say to that?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I can say that Mariam had very poor arguments about it, because they don't have arguments. First of all, Georgian, the status of candidacy of European Union was brought by the people of Georgia, who last year just, you know, they had huge protests and manifestation, especially youngsters, against the Russian law, against this foreign agent law. And actually, by then, in March 2023, Georgian Dream said that they will never gonna be back to this law again. I mean, so they broke the promise again to Georgian people. So this year, and actually the candidacy status, I mean, we got a lot of recommendations from the European Union. And yes, I mean, we have to be in compliance in line with the recommendation. Unfortunately, so these recommendations have been broken again by the Georgian Dream too. And the number one is bringing up this foreign agent law again. So when we're talking about the European Union and integration, so actually, I have to remind my colleague and also your audience, who is probably not very much aware of the dispute in Georgia. Last year, United States sanctioned former Prosecutor General Partsxaladze and said that Partsxaladze, who used to be the very close associate of Bidzina Ivanishvili and the General Prosecutor, he was a Russian spy. Actually, opposition and a lot of civil society and NGOs, I mean, and the Georgian people, we had been requesting the investigation against this Russian spy, Partsxaladze. But unfortunately, I mean, we never received and got any response for Georgian Dream. So they covered Partsxaladze, covered with court, they covered with National Bank. So when it's up to transparency, and my colleagues are talking about transparency, no, it's not. So because, I mean, we have, I mean, probably the most untransparent kleptocratic government with the oligarch. And so I have to say that the European integration and NATO integration, it will be under threat. So that's why a lot of people have been protesting outside the parliament of Georgia just now.
And Tornike, the Georgian Dream already dropped this bill last year because of all these huge protests against it. So why has it picked it up again now?
Georgian Dream pretends to know much better than European Union what is European, which is nonsense. So unanimously, European Union condemns this law. Georgian Dream says this is European. So this is unbelievable. When it comes to association agreements and deep and comprehensive free trade agreement, these agreements were prepared by the previous government and only signed by the current government. So they shouldn't take the benefit for that. And everyone remembers how it happened. And when European Union gave the candidate status to Georgia, it was a geopolitical decision, because European Union didn't want Georgia to stay out of the upcoming enlargement wave. And it was given, providing that 9 very clear condition was going to be applied in Georgia by the Georgian government. Now, coming to your question, yes, the law was abandoned last year, but this year Georgia has critical elections in October, and as the leader of Georgian Dream yesterday claimed, he proposed this law again now to destroy the opposition. He's not lying about his ambitions. He says that civil society and independent press are the foreign agents, and he needs to weaken them before the elections. What he said very very clearly. And second question is that Georgia needs Russia needs to see from Georgia a sign of allegiance and loyalty. And these kind of laws are adopted not only in Georgia, but in different former post-Soviet countries who are under Russian influence. And this is a sign of allegiance to Russia and demonstration of loyalty. Why never Russia is never mentioned as a threat to Georgia's independence? Russia occupies 20% of Georgia's territory, and the biggest threat to Georgia is the NGOs and free press that receives more than 20% of their budget from the West.
Okay, Mariam, let's pass that over to you. What is the exact threat coming from NGOs?
First of all, we have to say that I have to respond that it was not prepared by the previous government. So when we came into power, they were saying like 2 years they were expecting of the association agreement signature. And our power was the one who started really working on it. By that time, I was working at the State Ministry of EU Integration. So I remember drafting the DCFTA itself where I participated myself. When talking about the dropping of the legislation, I have to say that, first of all, issue was that in Georgia, in 3.7 million people, we have 25,000 NGOs working in the capital. And this is the highest number per capita index comparing to every European in every country. On the other side, we have to also notice that comparing to FARA, for instance, where there is the lobbyist targeted, here we have the NGOs who are participating in political decision-making and the development. And transparency of those organizations, and when talking individually with the parties, I mean, they cannot even name at least one sentence from the law, which is saying more than transparency. When we dropped it off this law, because again, stigmatization and calling everything, how can, for instance, the resolution which was supporting Ukraine when the war started, which was initiated by our committee, Ukraine support resolution, they named and branded it Russian resolution. And this is like a paradox. Everything, even the bottle, can be named Russian. So this is the branding and typical branding of the stigmatization. Another thing why we have dropped it was that there were a lot of untransparency. And if you directly, meanwhile, we have this live, you can go to EED. This is the European fund who are mainly financing the NGOs. You can directly go to this website and see that after 2021, there is not an update about the project which they are running Georgia.
Okay. So, well, let's just bring in Katia now and ask issue. Her what and her concerns are about this bill's impact on NGOs and civil society more broadly in Georgia.
Well, I'm wondering why Ms. Lashke doesn't respond about Bidzina Ivanishvili. I mean, the chair of the, well, I mean, noble chair of her party, because, I mean, she doesn't have an answer about it. Actually, when we're talking about the transparency of the money, nobody knows how Bidzina Ivanishvili earned a lot of money in Russia early 90s. And I don't think that the Russia in 90s, especially what Bidzina Ivanishvili had been doing there, was so transparent that they had the moral right, I mean, the moral ground to talk about the transparency.
Katia has mentioned the founder of Georgian Dream Party, the ex-prime minister Ivanishvili, a number of times. Okay, could you just give us an idea of how influential he is, where his sentiments lie, because he was very pro-European. Is he now more pro-Kremlin? And why he's re-emerged on the political front lines now?
His personal wealth is something, according to Forbes magazine, something like $6 billion, and Georgia's annual GDP is $15 billion. So we can imagine the ratio of his wealth and the annual GDP of the country is highest in the world. It's even higher than in Brunei Darussalam. You know this country, okay? So all the ministers of Georgian Dream, all the members of the parliament of Georgian Dream are approved personally by Mr. Bidzina Ivanishvili. And I don't know who told you that he was European. Georgian population is pro-European, and Georgian Dream had to pay attention to the majority of Georgian population. 80% of Georgians are for European Union, so they cannot directly attack European Union. That's why they're adopting this Orwellian strategy, saying Europe is bad, but we want Europe. So this is they try to maintain this ambiguity that doesn't work anymore, because they are treating, they are directly attacking now the European Union and the West. And just the last point, when the person from the majority said that she works for the association agreement, I'm sorry, I was the chief negotiator. Maybe she doesn't remember, but I was the chief negotiator for 2.5 years in these negotiations, and I don't remember her either, but I don't know, maybe she was doing a parallel negotiation somewhere.
Okay, okay. Let's try not to look too far back. Let's just try and look forward. You know,
sorry?
Okay. I just want to bring Mariam in to sort of throw the discussion forward a little bit now, because we've got these parliamentary elections due in October. Georgian Dream will be seeking a fourth term in office. Will it be a free and fair election, Mariam?
Yes, definitely. Free and fair election was assessed by OECD last election as well. But on the other note, we have to also mention that Georgian Dream is the party who has blamed Russia and won the court in Strasbourg against Russia. And if the government or if country or whoever is pro-Russian, they cannot do all the kind of in our track record what we have against Russia. First of all, winning the court, international human courts as well, even though the previous regime signed the resolution where they have blamed our own soldiers of starting the war. Even though there
Mariam, I'm going to have to jump in there because we've only got a minute left, and I want to ask Katia what she thinks about these elections that are coming up. Let's look forward to the October elections. Will Georgian Dream win a fourth term in office?
Well, actually, I mean, I'm very sorry about my colleague because she doesn't have the argument, so she has to prepare better. But actually, I can say yesterday, Bidzina Ivanishvili had again just underlined that for him, there are two very important factors for the next elections: the Central Election Commission and the courts. Actually, both of them today, actually, the Georgian Dream had voted for the new Central Election Commission head, which is absolutely subordinated to the Georgian Dream, Ivanishvili. And I have to underline that he said that these two elements are very much important. For that, he wants to eliminate the NGOs and civil society, not to bring the international observers, and to eliminate all these NGOs who wants to really and have the accreditation and license to really just observe the...
Mariam, Katia, apologies, I do have to jump in there again.
To bring up the observers, yeah.
Because we have run out of time. Thank you very much to all our experts today for a very lively discussion. Indeed, it does highlight the divisions in Georgia at the moment. Many thanks to all our guests, Katia Dikanoidze, Tuanike Gordadze, and Mariam Lashki. This episode was produced by Chantanel Chatterjee, Fintan Monaghan, Marilena Agostini, and Paul Taylor. Studio sound was by Aston Goodison. The programme was edited by Zainab Bada and Joe DeFrias. Be sure to subscribe to the Inside Story podcast to catch every episode. Thank you for listening, and tune in on Wednesday for our next edition.
Coming up on The Take, what's being uncovered from the mass graves in Gaza? That's The Take by Al Jazeera. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.